So Musaf Shemini Atzeres, we began saying Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem, or perhaps Morid HaGeshem. We'll have to discuss that at a later date. But we started, we did the Tfilas Geshem, we started praying for rain, for Eretz Yisrael, but also for, you know, for the places where you live. And we continue saying it until Pesach. So we'll discuss some halachas of Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem. We'll start off with some basics and then move on. So there's two different prayers we have for rain that we insert in our davening at seasonal times. One is Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem, and the other one is we say in the middle Shmona Esrei, not in the middle Shmona Esrei, in the middle of Brachas, in the Bracha Baruch Aleinu, we insert the same Tal Matal of Bracha. We also asking God for rain and the blessing of Parnassa. So you would have thought that when you're asking for rain, you'll both begin at the same time. Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem, we began Shemini Atzeres. When do we begin saying the same Tal Matal? That depends where you live. So in Eretz Yisrael, haven't started yet, but it's coming up soon. Zayin Mar Cheshvon, the seventh day. Today's probably the second or third already, so they're getting close. In North America, they worked out an English date. It's based on the equinox, on the solar system, on the Kufas Tishrei, 60 days after. Basically, it comes out December 4th. And certain times, December 5th, if it's a leap year. And that's a whole discussion also, because it's an English date, so they get into changing the dates on the calendar, because really they change the date. So even the Beis Yosef talks about, he writes something like November. So if you take 11 days on December 4th, you know, it would have been in November, but they skipped like 11 days. I wonder what happened to all the doctor appointments and dentists. I had an appointment today. I wonder what would have happened if they changed the calendar on me and I lost those 11 days. But either way, those are two different prayers. So number one, they start at different times. And also, as well, they're in different places in the Shemona Esrei. You figure if you're asking for rain, get your act together. Wherever you decide to put it. But why you put one in the bracha of Mechaya HaMesim and one in the bracha of Baruch Hanina? So we have to go back more general, forget about the specific bracha, but Shemona Esrei is split into three sections in Shemona Esrei. The first section is known as Shevach, praise, and that's where we begin, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The middle section is Bakashos, we make requests, and we conclude with the Hodah, with the thank you. So the first and third section are always the same, no matter what. No matter 365 days a year, that doesn't change. The middle section changes. During the week, we have many bakashas. Some people mistakenly think you can't make bakashas on Shabbos. Requests, you can. They just have to be spiritual requests. We don't make the physical requests. And Tosis talks about also, it's a tircha, the tibor, Shabbos, a long davening, we want to cut it down, so we only have the seven. So on Shabbos and Yantiv, we have seven brachas. So there's three and three and one in the middle. Rosh Hashanah, Musaf, you have nine. But besides that, it's the middle changes for Shabbos, Yantiv, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, whatever, Sholosh Regalim, but the beginning and end always stay. So Mashiv HaRuach, U'Morid HaGeshem, is in the first section, the Shevach. So therefore, it must be that Mashiv HaRuach, we're praising God for the ability to give rain. We're not actually asking Him for rain yet. We don't really want the rain right away on Musaf on Shemini Atzeres. We're only praising God for the ability that He can. Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem. And that's part of the whole praise section of Shevach. And the commentators point out there is a link between the bracha of Mechaye HaBesim, because the different links, that rain sustains life, and that's what Mechaye HaMesim, you bring back people. Others say there is a chazal, three things God doesn't give over for an angel to do. There's a concept that God sends different angels to do things, but three things he does it himself. Rain, childbirth, and chiyas hameisim, all things that have to do with creation, with birth. Parenthetically, this reminds me of Pshat and tie it into Noach. Ewa told us Noach, Ish Sadik, you have to have something to say at the table. I think you didn't learn the whole week. So, Ish Noach, Ish Sadik, Noach, Ish Sadik, Tamim, how you have a Dorosa of that. Noach is labeled a Tzadik in the Chumash. It's not rare to have Tzadikim in Jewish history, there are plenty of them. But it is rare that the Torah calls you a Tzadik. Noach is one, and that gets the whole discussion, Tzadik Tamim. In the generation of Avraham Manat, it's a separate discussion. Whatever you want, you know, you get the label tzaddik, you got to be doing something right. And there's another person who also is called tzaddik, but it's not found in the Chumash. We know Yosef is always known as Yosef HaTzaddik. So the question is, what did Noach and Yosef have in common? In other words, we know there are many tzaddikim. There's a concept of 36 hidden tzaddikim in every generation. And it's much harder to pick out a tzaddik than it is to pick out, let's say, a Torah scholar, a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because at least there's some objective standards for a Talmud Chacham. Like you could ask them questions, you come to the class, you know, you could pick up, you know, they might be able to fool you, but at least there's some, you know, there's some objective standard about knowing different things. But a tzaddik, what does a tzaddik mean? Like, who's a tzaddik? It's a whole very intangible. So it's very hard to pick out who a tzaddik is. So therefore, here the Torah labels Noach and Yosef as a tzaddik. What did Noach, and they didn't even live together. They were in, Yosef came later on. Why did Noach and Yosef compared as tzaddikim? That's the question of the Das Sekeinim Ubali Tosfos. What's the comparison between Noach and Yosef? So the Bali Tosfos answer, what do they have in common? They both sustain the world. Noach in this week's parish of the Mabul came, destroyed the world. He and his family went in the ark, and when he came out, he rebuilt the world. So he saved the world. He went ahead and rebuilt it. And he didn't save the world by stopping the Mabul. That's perhaps one of the critiques of Noach, assuming you learn it, Yesh Darshan Ganai, that he had all this time, not one Baal Tshuva. Imagine the rabbi giving a sermon for 120 years and not getting one Baal Tshuva, not getting one person. You know, different discussions, whether that was the Chachma of Noach, was it a praise of Noach, or was it a criticism that they didn't care enough? He was Makante Amuna, they say. Or perhaps he realized that the danger is involved. When you get into Kirov Rechokim, you try to get non-observant, and you could get drawn, maybe felt it could have been two generations. Sometimes you have to act like a Noach. Sometimes there is something for isolation. And other times you got to be an Avraham Avinu, but that's a separate sphere. So getting back here, so Yosef and Noach. So what do they have in common? And Yosef saved the world. We all know the feast and famine. Not only did Yosef save Egypt, he saved the whole world. Everyone came to him for food. If he didn't realize to put the food away, it would have been over. So we see Noach and Yosef have in common the both tzaddikim. Where do we know that someone who saves the world is called a tzaddik? Oh, good, so you proved to me Noach and Yosef have a common theme, that tzaddikim because they saved the world. How do I know that's true? How do I know you're a tzaddik because you saved the world? So we say it three times a day in davening. We just said it before Mincha. Poseach es yodecha ubaspia uchol chayrutz. And God, you open up your hands and sustain the whole world. And what's the next pasuk? Tzadik Hashem. God, you are a tzadik. So we see that one who sustains the whole world, and that's why Noach and Yosef. That's what the bracha of rain. Rain sustains the world. And therefore, rain is put into the bracha of Tchiyas HaMeisim, because these are the things that God does directly. He doesn't give over to anyone else. So Mashiv Aruach is the praise. And then as we're saying Tal Umatar, that's in the middle section. So that's a bakasha. So that's why they're put into. That's why they're in separate sections. V'sein talamat, we're actually asking for rain. We're making a request for rain. And mashav haruach, we're only praising. How come we wait to Zayin Mar Cheshvan? Why do we wait to the seventh day? Why don't we request rain right away? Why do we have to have a pause between the praise and the actual request? This is a discussion why perhaps you need a public announcement, but that's what they point out. The Gemara tells us in Tainus and other places, because we have a mitzvah, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, it's a discussion b'zman hazeh. In our time, do you still have a mitzvah? There wouldn't be an obligation, clearly. Is it still a form of mitzvah to go up to Yerushalayim anyway on Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos? But clearly, when the Beis HaMikdash was up, we had a mitzvah in our Torah to be Ola Rego, to go up. And literally, Ola Rego, because they used to walk back in the day. And therefore, they used to go up to Yerushalayim and bring karbanos, etc. It was a time of simcha. So they clearly went to the... So there was a chiyuv to go to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they stayed until after Sukkot, apparently. So the problem was, and they used to ride by buggy, horse, and we didn't want it raining on the people coming back, because it's a long journey of people coming from all over. So therefore, in order to wait to Zayim Ar Cheshvan, because that's what the Gemara figures out, the last place by Nahar Pras, the furthest people away, will have to walk by Zayim Ar Cheshvan, the home. So therefore, that's why we don't pray for rain right away. So I don't get it. So what are we saying? Really, we need the rain. But for a couple of people, we're going to get wet, so I'm not going to worry about the minority of Jews. I don't know, maybe those days it was the majority. But what does that mean exactly? We should have the rain, but we're not praying because these people might get some mud on their clothes and they have to do a wash when they get home. What exactly are we saying here? And if that's true, so do we stop? When do we stop saying Mashav HaRuach? I mean, saying Talo Mata, we stop on the same time. By Pesach, do we stop 14 days before? So we give the people time to come back for Pesach? So what's going on here? So then we see we're not concerned about people. So what's the difference? How come the 14 days after Sukkot we're concerned and we don't stop praying for rain until 14 days later? Yet if the concern is for the people, how come we forget it? We don't care about them when they come back. So perhaps a simple answer would be because everyone's leaving the same time. Maybe people come, they plan their trip, they come early. But others point out as follows, because it's a discussion exactly when is the rainy season. So they figure, again, it's different discussions in the Gemara, but we're working with the opinion that Israel doesn't really need rain until the seventh of Mar Cheshvan. So really the time period between after Sukkot and Zayimah is really no man's land. It's not, in other words, the certain times in the year, in the summer, that rains a negative, it ruins the crops. So it's a simen klala, like raining on Sukkot. You know, really they say really it should be raining, we really want it to start raining on Sukkot, but people are in the Sukkot, etc. But really, raining during this, like a drought is terrible when you need the rain. Raining during, look, speak to the farmers about the terrible weather conditions, all the drought. When you get rain at the wrong time, that's what we say in the Tfilas Tal, Tfilas Geshem, L'chayim v'lo l'maves. God, when you make it rain, make it for life and not for death. The Mabul, they had it for death. Or many times rain, a lot of serious things happen. So rain's a tremendous bracha. It could be a klala as well. So they point out it's no man's land. It's not a simen klala or bracha. In other words, if it doesn't rain, it doesn't hurt us. And if it rains, it doesn't, either way, it doesn't hurt us either way. But so therefore, since it's no man's land, so then we have the people who need the 2 weeks go. So why should we, if we don't need the rain yet, why all the people going back, why make them uncomfortable and have to do another wash when they get home? However, the last 2 weeks, that's still the rainy season. So we need the rain, but sorry, we don't want you to get wet. So that only helps if it's not the rainy season. If we have some leverage, you know, we have some maneuvering rule, we have some room to maneuver, so then we say, okay, we'll give you a break, we'll wait in. But when it's the rainy season, it's interesting, the Chazal point out, but the question is, let's assume it's only a minority people. So we're saying we're afraid that of the minority people, that it's going to rain. What about the majority? Let's assume the majority aren't there. How come we're not more concerned with the majority? So they say, Derek, the Bali Musa point out, Derek Drush, that because who's going to mean it more? It's true. The person who's walking out and it's raining in the mud, when they pray to God for not to rain, they really mean it. Us, okay, yeah, God, we want it to rain. Yeah, it's important. The people, when you're praying, when it's directly involved, you're going to have a lot more kavanah. That's why, in fact, the Gemara in Makkos talks about that we know the person is stuck in the city of refuge. Someone kills unintentionally. You're stuck in the city of refuge, Ari Miklat, until the Kohen Gadol dies. So the Chazal tell us that the mother of the Kohen Gadol, or the wife, whoever, used to go bake chocolate chip cookies, brownies, melt away, babka, the works, whatever you like, and she used to give it out in the Ari Miklat. Why? Because she didn't want them praying. They wanted her son to die. She didn't want them praying for the death of the Kohen Gadol, so she wanted them to be in a good mood. But Kashas, what do you mean? You have a couple of people in the Ari Miklat praying for his death, but the point is they're going to mean it because they want it out of the Ari Miklat. So when you're praying for something, there's one thing, in theory it shouldn't be that way. We should have the same kavana, but reality it doesn't work that way. So obviously, as you know, as they say, there's no such thing as atheists in the foxhole. In other words, when it's actually happening to you, you know, it's just normal, natural, you can have a lot more kavana. So that's why. So they point out to them, so Mashav HaRuach is this praising God with the ability to give rain. Tao Matar is actually asking for rain. And Mashav HaRuach is in with Mechiyas HaMesim because it's things that sustain life. Tao Matar is in the Bracha for Parnasa. So why do we start 2 weeks later but end the same time? And if we're concerned about the people getting all muddy, so why are we concerned later on? So that's what we explain. It's because really, the first 2 weeks are still no man's land. It's still, we can maneuver, there's still room to go rain or no rain. However, when it comes to going back, it's definitely a time of rain, and therefore we're not going to tell people to stop raining if we need it. So that's just the basics of where it's put in the tefillah. Just a couple of lakas, and we'll continue next week with some more classes on it, that this, if a person forgets to say Mashiv HaRuach Muragashem, you say, big deal, it's four words. How important could it be? So the lach is, if you get to say it, you're not Yotzi Shemoneh, you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. If you remember it after you finish, you have to repeat. And if you remember, this, the bottom line is, if you remember before you say, certainly if you remember before you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayeh HaMesim, you can insert it in there. Posting even after Mechayeh HaMesim. You could say Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayeh HaMesim, Mashiv HaRuach Rosh, and then say Atah Kadosh. Once you say the word Atah, it's over. You got to go back. So that's the luck. If you forget Mashiv HaRuach, you have to go back. What happens if you're not sure? You know, which most of the time we're not sure. What say is you're not sure if you said Mashiv HaRuach Rosh? So Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, which we'll have a longer discussion on it with the Maharam of Rurenberg, but this is what the basic halach is. The first 30 days, if you're not sure, you have to go back. After 30 days, you don't go back. Let me just point out, it's not a magical 30-day period. We're assuming that you're davening three times a day and four times a day. In other words, it's not like, you have to say, I haven't davened since Shemi Atzeres, and now even if you're not sure, because the point is, we're creatures of habit. We go with chazakas. So you have to get into the custom to saying it. So the chazal pick 30 days, 90 times, 100 times, you get used to saying it. To the effort. So if you know you didn't say it, even if it's 4 months, it's the last day you're saying Mashiv HaRuach. It's the last day before Pesach. If you know you missed it, you have to go back. But if you're not sure, then when you have leeway, so the first 30 days, you could go back. You have to go back if you're not sure. After 30 days, you don't. We'll get into the Maharam of Rurenberg, who in his yeshiva, they used to say, on Shmini Atzeres, they used to say, Mashiv Aruch Hashem, discussion whether 90 times or 100 times. And let me just point out, they just didn't say Mashiv Aruch Hashem. That would be meaningless. There was a I don't know what tune they used, but they used to sing this song. But you have to go back and say, you have to say, Atah Gibor Elohim Hashem, Mechayim Eitzan, Rav Hoshia, Mashiv Aruch Hashem, Mechal Kol Chayim Mechesed. In other words, you have to put it in context. This to say Mashiv Aruch a thousand times, it's meaningless. It's not going to help you remember during Shemona Esrei. So that's what the meaning in his yeshiva was. That's what they used to do, I guess, I guess they hoped they didn't forget it at Musaf. And then maybe right at the Suda, right after Musaf, they used to sing it maybe as part of the Zemiris that day. And therefore, that was his opinion, that if you say it 90, 100 times in that day, it takes out the problem of doubt. It doesn't stop from the problem of not saying. If you don't say, you have to repeat. But with doubt, you have the first 30 days, and after that, you're okay, and you want to go with the Maharam Rurenberg. If you say it, I guess it would work the same well. My guess is if you did it halfway, you did 50, and you did it 50, so we could, you know, that should work also as well. And so we'll have to continue with getting into some more lamdas, more details of the halakhas of Mashiv HaRuach. Questions?